Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from St. Paul's epistle letter to the Colossians, the third chapter, which we heard read earlier. Please be seated. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. And while God's people of the Old Testament did not know exactly who Jesus was, they had the Lord's promise of a coming Savior. The entire Old Testament points the way to Jesus. When hard-hearted Pharaoh refused to let God's people go out of Egypt, Yahweh saved them by sending a plague, killing all the firstborn in Egypt. Yet on that very first Passover night, by the shedding of the blood of a sacrificial lamb, the firstborn of all the Israelites were saved from death into life. The Passover lamb foreshadows Christ Jesus, God's own sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world. He redeems all mankind from death into life. In remembrance of that bloody night, God claimed all of Israel's firstborn as his own. In his ceremonial law, the Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and of beast, is mine." They were to consecrate and set apart all the firstborn males, animal and human, was to be set apart away from all the other things of everyday use for exclusive dedication to holy and sacred use. By consecrating the firstborn, the Lord is helping the people to remember their salvation and freedom that he would win for them in that great exodus out of Egypt. It was a living reminder in each household that God had set his people apart from all the other nations, all the other peoples, to fear, love, and trust in him above all things. In our gospel text this morning, we see Mary and Joseph coming to the temple to fulfill the law. But the Christian church does not follow this consecration practice anymore, because unto you is born a Savior. He was born for you regardless of your attitude, your credit score, your place in society, or of anything that you might have done. Jesus is born unto you, putting on human flesh and bone, human weakness, taking the form of a servant, fulfilling the law and all of the prophets. He does all of this to consecrate you, to redeem you from death into life. Your true Passover lamb left the glory of heaven to clothe himself with your filthy rags and all of your sinfulness and take them all to the cross and have them put to death so that you in turn might be clothed with Christ's righteousness. He calls you to be set apart and to live as his people. Now, for most of us, this setting apart, this consecration, happened in baptismal waters. Jesus instituted the waters of holy baptism as his means to set you apart as his own child. It was there that he washed away all your old filthy rags, and he clothed you with the righteousness of Christ. Before baptism, you were unfit to come before the Lord. But because Jesus offered himself as the perfect once-for-all sacrifice in baptismal waters, God has purified you of your sin and consecrated you to life, making you his own child. And this is the point that St. Paul is trying to make to the Christians living in Colossae. There were many false teachers among the Colossians, teaching false doctrines that put restrictions on the freedoms that Christ had won on the cross, while at the same time allowing them to live lives contrary to God's will. And many of those same heresies exist today. Just look around. We have many Christians. Some of us look at ourselves even. We like to live as if we live in both different worlds. We want one foot living as the new man, but the other foot we want to live serving the old Adam. And that is not a God-pleasing life. Not that your words and deeds count toward your salvation. No, Jesus has already done all that work. But in our text, Paul says that God has called you. He chose you, and he forgives you. He has made you his beloved child. And your relationship with God has nothing at all to do with obedience to rules. It's based solely upon God's grace, calling you to forgiveness and a new life in Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit given you in baptism, you are to put off the old life and put on the Christian life. In the preceding chapter in Colossians, Paul points those Christians in Colossae to their baptism, where Jesus has raised them to new life, uniting them with himself, forgiving them of their sins. In the very same way, St. Paul is pointing you to your baptism, where you were washed and made clean by the blood of the Lamb. So if you think about it, if your old filthy rags have been washed clean, and you have been clothed in the pure righteousness of Christ in baptism, why would you, the Christian, wish to put on those old filthy rags again and go parading down the street? Imagine spending the day laboring in the hot sun, working up a smelly sweat, so bad that you're even offended by your own odor. At the end of the day, what would you do? Well, obviously, you'd take off your clothes and jump in the shower or in the bathtub. After scrubbing all the stench away, what are you going to put on? Would you put on them old, smelly, stinky, dirty clothes? No, you would put on clean clothes. So too it is for the Christian. St. Paul writes in baptism, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. He also writes, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Christ has given you a new life, and he calls you to live a life that is pure and holy, set apart for God. Out of love for the one who first loved you, the Christian responds by living a God-pleasing life, anchored in faith in Jesus. And in our text, Paul gives you examples of how God's chosen ones live as set apart, how to live your life bearing Christ's own virtues. First in our text, Paul says to put on compassion. The one who is compassionate is gracious to all people, regardless of creed, race, sex, whatever the world has to call it, political affiliation, or what they have done to you. By God's grace, Christ Jesus has shown you compassion by putting on your flesh and keeping God's law and dying your death so that you have life in his name. Next, Paul says, put on kindness. Kindness gives to the neighbor in need without compulsion or expecting anything in return. Just as Jesus willingly gave himself into death for you, even though you do not deserve it. Next, Paul says to put on humility. Humility takes on the robe of the servant, the role of the servant, placing yourself below others as humble servants of God, caring for their needs, just as in Jesus' humiliation, took the form of a servant and became servant of all, humbling himself to the point of death on the cross. Paul says, put on meekness. Meekness lets you confess that you are both sinner and saint among other sinners who betray you and sin against you, just as Christ was betrayed by the hands of sinful men and put to death for their sinfulness. Paul says, put on patience. Patience perseveres under injustice without reacting in retribution, just as Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Paul says, bear with one another. Christians bear with one another by faith in Jesus, bearing their griefs and their burdens and their sorrows, just as Jesus bore your filthy rags in his body. By his wounds you are healed. Paul says to forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. Boy, isn't that a hard one. Forgive one another just as God in Christ has forgiven you. To forgive is to release others from the debts that they have accrued against you. Whether they're past sins against you or present, real or imagined, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. So the bottom line is, the Christian life should bear fruits of repentance and Christian virtue. Now make no mistake, Paul is not saying that the Christian life is just a life of moral improvement or checking off the boxes. No, being dead in your trespasses and any improvement can being dead in your trespasses, any improvement has to come by the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes place as Christ works in you to conform you to his likeness. Paul puts it this way to the Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The name Jesus means Yahweh saves. As God incarnate, the Word became flesh. Christ Jesus came for you and gave himself for you to save you from your sins. In baptism, you were united with Christ in his death. And if you died with Christ, you will also be raised with him. You will live with him. You are chosen by God, you are set apart, and you are loved. And in his great love, Christ changes your life so that you become more like him. The Lord's Christ came and dwelt among his people and dwells among you, coming to you right here in word and sacrament. He came to you bringing you faith by the power of the Holy Spirit at the font. And he comes to you and strengthens your faith in the preaching of his word. And he comes especially personally to you in his body and blood given and shed in the Lord's Supper. You have been consecrated from death into life through the blood of Christ Jesus, your true Passover lamb. In Christ Jesus, you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.